Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. LeBron James continues to do historic things, even if we wish he didn't have to. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you to everyone for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts, always free, never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show, be part of a vibrant Lakers community of more than 10,000 subscribers. Really a lot of lively conversation on that page. A lot of NAD, I'm sure, dedicated now to the return of Anthony Davis. Got some news on that. Shams Charania passing that along. Monday, and the Lakers win on Martin Luther King Day. It was an entertaining game. It was one in which LeBron James scored 48 points, 16 of 26 from floor, 5 of 10 from 3-point range. He had 8 rebounds, he had 9 assists. Lakers win by 8, 140 to 132. He was plus 19 in this game. He continues to do really amazing things, Andy, even if I kind of wish he didn't have to.
Yeah, as I noted on Twitter at Cam Brothers, it was simultaneously inspiring and depressing that LeBron had to work on a 40 piece in order to keep the Lakers afloat against a 10-win Rockets team. And I recognize second end of a back-to-back, all of that. They are still, and you know, the Rockets are young, super athletic. They're going to get geeked up for this game, yada, yada, yada. They're still a really bad team. And in certain respects, they gave the Lakers all they could handle. Like, in, you know, by the way, just to note this, since we talked about everything LeBron did really well in this game, zero turnovers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to, in talking about this game, the Lakers as a team set a franchise record for the fewest amount of turnovers in a game. Two.
Yeah.
They had two in this game, which, by the way, I would have thought it's, I mean, I realize a turnover-free NBA game is really hard to do. I would have thought there would have been a zero or a one in there somewhere, but, you know, franchise been around for a while. But, you know, anyway, they set the record with two, which is critical in this game, because if they had turned the ball over 6, 7, 8, 9 times, which isn't that many, they probably lose. Houston also took very good care of the ball. They only had 8 turnovers. Very clean game in that respect. But yeah, 2 turnovers for the Lakers. You know, we talked on
both Sunday teams are too busy scoring to turn the ball over.
Yeah. But in the Philly game, we talked about how they only had 10 free throws, I believe it was, and 6 made 3-pointers. Hard, you know, not a lot there. 30 made free throws on Monday, and 12 3-pointers. So they certainly improved from there, shot 54%. The numbers offensively were excellent. They just couldn't get a stop.
No, particularly against Alperen Şengün, who absolutely destroyed the Lakers in this game. 33 points on 14 of 17 shooting, 15 rebounds, 4 on the offensive glass, plus 6 assists, 4 blocks. It felt like he had more than 4 blocks on Thomas Bryant alone.
Yeah. Like there were individual possessions where it felt like he had 4 blocks on Thomas Bryant.
He was, Brian, a one-man gang.
I will say, I noticed this last year. And Şengün, he has played much, been much more a productive player this year than last year in his second year in the league. He seems to be coming along and advancing in ways I'm sure the Rockets are thrilled with. He's still only 20 years old. But I mean, he plays, I even noticed this last year, with like an arrogance about his game. He thinks he can do anything on the court. It's a little bit Russ-like in the sense that he just sort of feels like there's literally nothing on a court that he can't do if he decides, like whether it is the most ridiculous idea or not. I'm kind of a big Alpi Şengün fan.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's talented, man. I mean, you are correct that he is not afraid to get out over his skis, but nights like tonight where, you know, he very much kept Houston in this game. And, you know, mm-hmm. I recognize it's a different story if AD is playing in this game, and we're going to get into later on, like some updates about when he might be back and what it means in terms of the whole might thing. But I mean, he looked otherworldly in this game. Like you tweeted out, and it's true, at Cam Brothers, Thomas Bryant's going to have nightmares about Şengün. Like, you know, and Bryant has been about as good as you could reasonably expect during this period without Anthony Davis. Like, you know, he's helped the Lakers stay afloat to the degree that they have in very tangible ways, but he got owned in this game.
He did. And we'll talk about this as the show goes on. Wenyen Gabriel played, looking it up here, he played very well, but he played 24 minutes to Bryant's 18 on Monday night. And the balance in minutes is starting to shift a little bit more towards Wenyen, in part because of performances like we saw from Bryant. It's just not, he's a very good offensive center. He's not a good defender. I mean, not even kind of okay. And Wenyen has just improved his play to the point where you get a little more defense and all that. So we'll get to that in a second, but I do not want to bury the lead here, Andy. LeBron James had 48 points, 16 of 26 from the floor. He was 5 of 10 from three-point range, so a nice little twist there for a guy who's been slumping from beyond the arc. He had 11 of his 12 free throws. He was plus 19 in a game the Lakers won by 8, meaning, again, the Lakers struggled to do anything right when he wasn't on the floor. This type of performance is becoming, you know, kind of, again, very routine for him at a time where, you know, not to harp on it, he's 38 years old and playing without his other, you know, star in support. What he is doing, and I thought Monday, he was unreal. I mean, yes, he was great. Sunday, but like Monday, it was like the same kind of thing against a crappier team. So he got even look better.
To put in perspective, you mentioned what he's been doing lately. Saw this tweet over at basketballnews.com. LeBron's last 7 games, 47 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 43 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 25, 7 and 10, 37, 8 and 7, 24, 16 and 9, 35, 8 and 10, 48, 8 and 9. That is bat bleep crazy.
Hard to do that over 7 games in NBA 2K. Yeah. You know, I don't want to, and I don't even mean this is good. Like, the age thing is almost icing on the cake a little bit for what he's doing right now. It's only becomes that much more impressive when you factor in the age thing. Although I will say,
it's a pretty solid numbers for a guy in his prime too.
Right. That's my point. I mean, it's not like, you know, if you're just like giving him the benefit of the doubt here and everybody else is putting up 60, 13 and 22.
We're not rounding up for age. This is pretty good. No matter.
Pretty good. What. Just pretty. Yeah. It's just flat out pretty good. And it is the kind of thing that, on the one hand, whenever I watch these games, and you knew he was on just, you know, one of these sort of seeing and feeling the game Neo type heaters, with about a minute left, the Lakers badly need a bucket. LeBron comes around a screen, pulls up at about 15 and goes glass on the jumper. And it was just like, okay, he's just breaking out all the stuff now.
You think Russ got a little bit jealous when he saw that shot? Because that's Russ's shot.
Yeah.
That is, or at least in Russ's mind. And to be fair, 10 years ago, that really was Russ's shot. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, like, that was always the moment when Russ would hit 2 or 3 of those in a game. Those were the moments that signal, okay, Russ is on one.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What is your reaction to watching these games? Because I'll tell you mine. I am both amazed and I kind of want to keep seeing them, but I know I don't really want to keep seeing them because it's not healthy. So I'm curious what's going through your mind when you see this run that LeBron is on to help keep the Lakers afloat. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Rocket Money. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? If so, friendo, you are not alone. 80% of people have subscriptions that they forgot about. Maybe it's some unused Amazon Prime account or like a double Hulu account in your family. Like, there's this great app, though, no matter what the situation is, that I use that helps me keep track of my expenses. Because of it, I don't waste money on subscriptions that I don't even use. You might have heard of it before. It was used to be called Truebill. It's now known as Rocket Money. And this app shows you all your subscriptions in one place, cancels what you don't want anymore. And Rocket Money can even help you find subscriptions you did not even know you were paying for, like Napster from 2001.
That one that delivers like that. Tab Cola to you every month.
Exactly. You got to get rid of that. And just all you got to do is cancel a subscription, is hit cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest for you. So cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Again, this could save you hundreds of dollars a year. It's rocketmoney.com/lockedon.
But a lot of tab in the house. So what's going through your mind when, you know, LeBron has to keep bailing out the Lakers, you know, in these fourth quarters, or keeping him in games and all this kind of stuff? Because it is both amazing to watch and something that, you know, isn't fundamentally good for the team.
I mean, as you mentioned, it's indicative of where they are right now. There's a part of me watching him, you know, that admires him. There's a part of me that feels bad for him. There's a part of me that feels like he's basically, with every single basket, every single assist, every single rebound, saying, get me some effing help. Mm-hmm. Like, make an effing trade. Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, anybody else who isn't getting in the way of this. And by the way, in saying this, I'm not even making the case for LeBron, because depending on what the trade is or whatever, it might not be a good idea. I'm just saying, when this stuff is going on, I get where he's coming from.
You did notice that after every made bucket on Monday night, he yelled, Bogdanovich! So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think you're right. I think he wants some help.
Either that, or he's a big fan of the late director. It's one or the other. Loves him some Last Picture Show.
Exactly. Yep. He is, he's a always been a, the man loves movies. It's
he's always been a Cybill Shepherd man, that LeBron James. But, like, you watch all this, just it is astonishing. There's a part of you that wonders, okay, is he using up the reservoir too early in the season? We're not even at the All-Star break. Like, is he pacing himself in a way that is unsustainable? And you have to ask this, because what he's doing, there is no template. There is no precedent. So it is not in any way doubting LeBron James to be wondering this. This is just noting the human body and the, generally speaking, limitations that come with pushing it to this degree at this age with this type of mileage already accumulated. I mean, it is one of those things that makes you think in like 10 different directions, mm-hmm. because it is so awe-inspiring and so impractical all at once.
It's like when you see one of those one-man band, like the guys playing like the harmonica and the drums and the guitar and the trombone. It's like, that is impressive. It's a one-man gang. It is impressive. But you're like, just, you know, find three or four other bandmates and the music will be better.
I want to just preface this by saying I am not making a direct comparison, apples to apples, in terms of potential end result. Mm-hmm. But you can't help but think about what Kobe did in that last month of the 2013 season, just pushing the Lakers towards that, you know, that playoff appearance that he ultimately was not able to participate in because he tore his Achilles. And I'm not saying that I'm really not saying that in order to raise worries about LeBron getting hurt.
Although 95% of the people listening to this podcast just threw up in their mouth a little bit, but sure.
No, but you know what though? Meant. All those people, they were worried about it anyway. I didn't need to say it. I'm just talking about watching a guy do superhuman things out of pure necessity. in a setting where it doesn't feel like, at least on paper, they should have to.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
But the other thing about that is he was dragging that team to, and this is not something we talked about before in our planning. I haven't heard this comparison. It's an interesting one. And so this is where I went with that. Kobe was really dragging a team that was going to lose once they got there. That was not a very good team. It was Kobe. And there is
a they never lot. Gelled. I mean, they had players on that team, but they just never
found it wasn't gonna work. It wasn't gonna work. Kobe got them to the postseason, and once he was hurt, they really weren't going to win and didn't win a game. But that wasn't going to work out in any kind of championship run or anything like that. The way the Lakers have played and the way LeBron has played and the way Anthony Davis has played, there are certainly a lot of people who believe that the Lakers really might only be a player or two, a supporting cast, a Bogdanovich type guy who then makes the rotation make much more sense from actually being a contender. So when you think of that season versus this one, do you see more potential here than there? Because again, my memory of that season, and again, it was a while ago, and it's tainted by Wave's arms around everything that happened, but it does feel like this team is more competitive than that one in some ways, at least.
I mean, yes, in the
I'm thinking sense in that, real time. So I know I'm putting you on the spot too.
Yeah, I mean, yes, in the sense that when the stretch we saw from AD combined with what we've seen from LeBron, that Laker team did not have any two players capable of playing at that level because Dwight was not himself. You know, he was dealing with that back injury that in retrospect, he came back way too early from. Mm-hmm. He was not physically himself. And, you know, really, he's not been consistently the same since then either. You know, Pau Gasol was still a really good player, but he was not at peak AD level, certainly not peak LeBron level. And, you know, Nash never played, really. And, you know, the rest of the supporting cast, you know, is not going to equal LeBron and AD. So, look, Russell Westbrook on his best days is as good as probably anybody on that team, you know, other than maybe Powell on their best days. So, and most importantly, this Western Conference season is way more wide open than the two. I mean, I don't remember everything from the Western Conference in 2013 off the top of my head, but I do remember that it wasn't nearly this wide open. That I'm pretty damn sure of. The Spurs went to the finals that year, lost to Miami.
Lakers won 45 games that year as a 7 seed. Rockets won. Rockets again, of course. It was 1 through 8. Then there was no play-in, obviously. It's not even apples to apples and all that stuff. Lakers won 8 out of their last 10. They won 5 in a row just to squeak into the playoffs. And that's what made that moment with the Achilles in part so powerful, is that, you know, Kobe needed to sink those free throws to help the team get into a playoff series. He wasn't going to play it. But they had to mount a serious rally, and it was fueled by Kobe doing, like you said, sort of superhuman things that nobody should have to do. This year's Western Conference, both because of the play-in and then just because it's much more jumbled up in the middle. The Clippers are a 500 team basically as a 6 seed right now. And so
contextually there is more possible.
It's just that idea of, do you feel there's that felt like a that season felt like a lost cause even when they were winning. I remember that's sort of how we all felt, because it didn't feel like they were winning in a sustainable way. But like this, it's hard to tell. And there are a lot of smart people who follow the game, follow basketball, follow the Lakers, who don't think they're very far away given all that other stuff. And so
look, they may not be that far away this season. Like if you dropped this team into the 2013 Western Conference, I don't know if I would feel as confident about, if nothing else, potential opportunity, but you're not going to do that. It's this year.
So a lot, Andy, of this conversation is related to when is Anthony Davis coming back? And got a little more news on that on a Monday, and so we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for sports betting, info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from football to basketball, NHL, tennis, even esports. They got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Always the fastest, easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Real quick, before we get to the question of Anthony Davis, there was one more nugget I had about LeBron that I wanted to throw out there just to put in perspective what he did in this game and, you know, put a button on what we've been talking about in terms of his play of late. A tweet I saw from Dan Wojcicki, friend of the show, covers the Lakers for the LA Times. This was with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. LeBron has either scored or assisted 83.3% of the Lakers' fourth quarter points so far. On the game, he's got 46-8, his third 40-point game since December 30th. I looked at the baskets since around the four-minute mark after Dan tweeted. You have a Dennis Schroeder bucket assisted by LeBron, led to a Dennis Schroeder free throw for the N1. LeBron bucket unassisted. JTA bucket, Russ assisted. Russ bucket, LeBron assisted. LeBron bucket, unassisted. Two LeBron free throws and a Russ free throw. So that trend continued for basically the fourth quarter.
Again, the Lakers, just as it was, not quite, it wasn't quite as bad as it was Sunday night against the Sixers. They were not a good team when LeBron wasn't on the floor. And that is something that also makes this stretch without Anthony Davis more problematic, because even as guys like Wenyen Gabriel fill in, and maybe we'll spend a little more time on Wenyen for Wednesday show, getting ahead of the Sacramento game, which is now a huge one, where the Lakers have a chance to make up a game against a team that they are chasing, which is a lot of them, but you know, one that is reasonably close to them in the standings. And so we'll talk about Gabriel maybe before we get into that. Shams Charania reporting that Anthony Davis, the Lakers hope, will be able to play in a handful of games before the All-Star game. So the All-Star game is in February.
Mid-February.
That means that's not the kind. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, great, he's like working his way back and whatever, and people look at that and, oh, before the All-Star break, I guess that's good. But that's what, another 10 games, 12 games?
It is 15 games, assuming I did the count right, between now and the All-Star game. Eight between now and February, like the first game in February. Between now, first game in February, that's 8 games. Let's say you went literal handful last 5 games. That would mean you've got another 10 games without AD. So I would say it's somewhere between 8 games.
Whose hands are we talking about? Because you want somebody with really big hands when you're talking about a handful of games. Boban. For Anthony Davis. Boban hands, yes. Well,
if it's Boban, he already would have returned 2 weeks ago.
That's true. Like that, that's... that's a long stretch of games to survive. If you got to go another 12 games without Anthony Davis, man, it's good. He doesn't need surgery. He's coming back for it. That is a long time to expect LeBron to do this. And even with Austin Reeves coming back, and even with hopefully Lonnie Walker coming back, and Darvin did say those guys are about 3 or 4 days from being evaluated again, not coming back, but they're having their next evaluation. It's a long time. It's a long time for LeBron to keep this team afloat.
I mean, you and I were talking about this before the show started, Brian. Like they've reached like the limits of what they can do without AD. Like whether you're talking about the way they played against Philadelphia or Dallas, which for the most part was very well shorthanded against quality competition, particularly Philadelphia, but they were not able to push themselves over the edge in ways that you feel like if AD was there, that could have been the difference maker. Like if you have Anthony Davis in either one of those games, I'm not saying you definitely win because you still got to play, but you can feel pretty good about the prospect of you play like that and you drop Anthony Davis onto your side. There's a really good chance you win, or you're just pushing up against the limits of what you can do on the second end of a back-to-back against a crappy team without Anthony Davis because fatigue sets in while shorthanded and you have to compensate for that. Like one way or the other, they've done really admirably, all things considered.
They are 9-8 since Anthony Davis got injured.
Look, man, that is
That's really good.
That is as good as you could reasonably expect, considering there's been no Austin Reeves for basically all of it, no Lonnie Walker for basically all of it, no Patrick Beverley for some of it, no LeBron.
LeBron missed a couple of those games. Yeah.
Like, that's as good as reasonably expected, but they are pushing the limits, man. They are pushing the limits of it.
And it's also a situation where the treading water, which is admirable. Again, if this was game 17, if they, you know, they were 9-8 and we're 17 games in the season, you're like, great. You know, this is actually a really good sign. Feeling good. Anthony Davis comes back, gives you 50 games at the end of the year. You're good to go. And, you know, but we're not, you know, those 12 games at the beginning of the season, you know, kind of buried them. And then they're digging their, you know, climbing their way out of that hole. The good news is you only got to get to 10 to give yourself a chance. You only got to get to 10, and the Lakers are not far away from that. They are not far away from 7, 8, 9, you know, and you look at it. Of all the teams that are in front of them, like Phoenix is in a complete free fall. They lost again on Monday. I don't know when Devin Booker is coming back, but if it's not quickly.
They're also in a weird situation because of the situation with Sarver. Just making trades is a weird thing.
The whole season is, you know, just kind of coming unglued. You look at them. You look at Portland, who have played fine, but they're a good team, not a great team, and performing about, I think, as people would have expected, around 500. The Wolves, do they really frighten anybody? I guess they could figure it out. The Jazz have certainly cooled off. The Warriors, I think, will get better, and certainly have the potential to get better.
Team they're chasing is probably going to be the Thunder.
I agree. That's where I was building to. I said the team that's in front of them that I actually think has the most potential to go on an extended run is actually Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But let's say they do.
And they are just, let people know, because people are used to it a certain way, they are not going to be tanking this year. They're not going to.
But the thing about it is, Andy, because of the play-in, let's say the Warriors start playing like the Warriors and go. The Clippers even kick it in the gear a little bit. You know, guys get healthy and they start to take at least the second half of the season a little more seriously. There are still two or three spots in the Western Conference playoffs if you count the play-in for the Lakers to take advantage of. And I'm actually still pretty optimistic about getting there. But what kind of condition are they going to be in if it happens? I mean, if you're only getting 10, 15 games at the end of the season, you know, 18 games, whatever with AD, I don't even feel like guys are playing poorly necessarily. They just have to figure out a way to lighten the load somehow on LeBron until Anthony Davis is back. I have no recipe for that. I don't know what it looks like. Guys are playing, I think, about as well as they can be expected to.
It's reaching a place, and we can maybe talk about this more over the course of the week, where if the front office, even if not fully invested in this season's team for whatever reason, whether it's a lack of total belief, whether it's because they think their options for making it better will be stronger and more varied in the offseason, whatever. We're starting to reach a place where if they at least are serious about the play-in, they may need to make some type of move. Like, even if it's like a medium level move, they may need to do it just to ensure themselves that, and just to bring in a bit of an extra, because you don't know for sure, A, when AD is going to be back, and B, how long, you know, is he going to miss a few games in between when he comes back and the play-in? You know what I mean? Like, they may have to do something.
It's if
the play-in matters to them.
It's interesting. Jason Timpf, it was a great follow, you know, obviously very knowledgeable about basketball, you know, spends a ton of time with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Had an interesting comment where, you know, he's one of the guys who believes that, you know, the Lakers really aren't far away if you add a couple supporting pieces from being a very competitive team. And what he said, it was an interesting observation, was that, you know, you don't want to talk yourself into mediocrity. Jeannie and Rob have sort of are talking themselves into mediocrity because they don't want to do anything. For whatever reason, they're scared to do something. They don't want to do something. And I'm adding more to what was a tweet. Not all of this was in the tweet, but that they're paralyzed by the options, looking for something bigger, looking for a quicker fix, the magical thinking that I think they're always prone to. And in the process, talking about this team as if it's worse than it is. And while you don't want to do something stupid for performative going for itness, you also don't want to rob yourself of an opportunity by just sort of convincing yourself that what you have available to you is not very good. So, Andy, like you were saying, if you could figure out a trade or two that work for this year, but fundamentally set up your team as well for next year, and think, you know, this is probably about as good as we're going to do in free agency and all these other things, let's just do it now. I mean, that's not the worst outcome here. It may not end up with a title or anything, but very few outcomes here do.
Okay. Before we go, to put a cap on it, I think it gets to something I've talked about with this franchise a lot. Their championship or bust ethos is very limiting for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's not realistic. It can lead to bad team building process, but also too, it often leaves them, I think, having no idea what to do with themselves unless they are a front runner. Mm-hmm. And that might be in part what is causing some of this indecision right now.
Yeah, it was a really interesting way of phrasing it. And so I thought that was worth a mention. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show. Plenty to get into over the course of the week. Huge game coming up on Wednesday against Sacramento. That's another one if the Lakers can take against a good Kings team. Just like not a thing people are used to hearing, but that's what they are these days. They've won 7 of 10 going into Tuesday's games.
Did just lose the Lakers, though.
Yeah, they did. And again, that goes to the points we were making. Like, that's a team the Lakers have beaten. So, man, LeBron. Nothing else. LeBron. All right. See everybody tomorrow.